Okay, we're going to go ahead and start the meeting, so I'd like to call a meeting to order. And please let it show that Director Katz and I are here. And for your ratification, what we're going to do is start with the receive and file areas of the agenda. So we're expecting Supervisor Antonovich at any moment, and then we can go to the other items. So let's go to item number 12, to receive and file report on the status of MTA's National Transit Database. Okay, you have it right there.
Hi, I'm Patty Amadi with Local Programming. It's item 12, National Transit Database Reporting. Each year, MTA submits a consolidated entity report to the FTA on behalf of local transit operators of LA County who otherwise would not report information to the federal government. MTA prepares this report according to the FTA guidelines, which involves a process of coordination, data collection, validation, and an independent audit.
Closer to the mic, please.
We have been increasing the number of systems who report NTD data. The number of operators increased from 1 in FY98 to 48 in FY11. The federal 5307 funds generated by NTD reporting increased from 21,000 to approximately 4.3 million. The voluntary NTD reporting program results in additional transportation dollars to the LA County region. If you have any questions.
Any questions? No objections. We'll receive and file. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item, number 13, restoration of, and here they come.
Good afternoon, directors. Diego Cardoso and Laura Cornejo. And this is a receive and file of a study that we have conducted on behalf of the city and as directed by the board in the past. And all we are doing here is the alternatives analysis and environmental analysis, and all of that contingent to the city giving us the resources to conduct the studies. Laura Cornejo will make a short presentation, and if you have any questions, we're here to answer them.
Good afternoon. We completed the alternatives analysis study in January of this year. Within the study, we recommended alternative 7 as a locally preferred alternative. The LPA is just shy of 4 miles with an estimated 8,400 daily boardings and at a capital cost of $107 million. Included within the LPA is a design variation to be studied further in the next phase of the project. To study how far south we can travel on Grand before the slope on Grand Avenue becomes an operational issue. Also, the City of Los Angeles' bicycle master plan includes bicycle lanes on 7th Street. We have been working with the City of Los Angeles and will continue to coordinate with them. However, in the event that we cannot accommodate bicycle lanes, vehicle traffic, and a streetcar on 7th Street, then we will move to study 9th Street as the alternative for the LPA. We have worked very closely with the City of Los Angeles and formerly with the CRA. We have also coordinated our efforts with the Los Angeles Streetcar Inc., a nonprofit. In January 19th, the CRA concurred with the staff's recommended LPA, and on January 31st, City Council took action and concurred with our LPA as well. Our next steps will be to receive additional funding from the City of Los Angeles for us to carry out the environmental work, and after that, we will proceed with the NEPA and CEQA activities. Thank you.
Any questions, comments? Thank you very much. No objections. We'll receive and file. And I'm going to go to item 16. We'll hold 14 till Director Antonovich arrives.
Madam Chair, I should mention this is part of one of the budget themes that were included in the board-approved budget last year. This one's taken a little longer to get going than the others just because of the complexity. But, Doug?
Madam Chair, Directors, this is the freeway beautification project. With me is Ian Fairweather, who's been diligently out there getting railroad bridges painted out from graffiti and And actually, Mr. Leahy, you'll be happy to know he's planted bougainvillea in the freeway right-of-way, so I'll let him go ahead and give a brief report. Ian?
Good afternoon, Chairman Dubois. Doug Failing said, I'm Ian Fairweather. I'm the Transportation Planning Manager 3, working on the freeway beautification program. We're here to give you an update. As you may remember, last time the freeway beautification is in support of the fiscal year 12 Clean Our Station and Roadways initiative by our CEO, and we have chosen two pilot areas within the freeway system within LA. The first one is on the 110 from College Street to Exposition Boulevard, and the second is on the I-710 from the SR-60 to the I-405. So far to date to status, we have already completed the cleanup of the railroads and utility crossings along the I-710. And even though they are starting to get some more tagging with graffiti, we are in the process of trying to work out an agreement again with Caltrans to go back out there and clean those up. We've also awarded some short-term quick start contracts for graffiti abatement and landscaping maintenance until a larger contract comes in the next few months. And to date, we have started cleaning the about 50 locations with graffiti on both corridors, and we have also started, as Mr. Failing said, planting some plants along the I-10 and I-110, and we'll be working towards the I-710 soon. One additional note that we have secured all the encroachment permits from Caltrans to begin work on the park and ride lots with the graffiti removal, the power sweeping, and the landscape maintenance prior to us actually receiving ownership of them. So as I said, as of March 2nd, we started the actual graffiti removal program. I know the slide says 40, but as of this morning when I checked, we have actually worked on 50 locations. So we are going out there probably on every two-week basis evaluating what graffiti is on those pilot areas and going out systematically removing those one step at a time. This is the College Street bridge on the 110 southbound, and as you can see, the before picture actually shows the area with no landscaping and tagging. Unfortunately, the day that we actually finished our project, the night before they came out and tagged that area that we just worked on, we have not had time to clean it. It has been cleaned since we have submitted this, but we did plant five large bougainvilleas and some California hop seed, which will actually take away that canvas once they start rooting and everything. Upcoming activities. So as I said, we've awarded some short-term contracts. We are looking to award another short-term contract for irrigation repairs to assist Caltrans with the irrigation systems that are no longer working. We're in the process of awarding our larger contract for graffiti abatement and for landscaping. We are working to obtain the final approval on our landscaping plans that are we're working with Caltrans. We are also, at the end of this month, have a meeting set up with the utilities and the railroads to talk about deterrences along with I-710 and everything. That concludes our presentation. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Questions or comments? I have a comment or two. First, I want to thank you very much. It at one point became very embarrassing to drive down the 710 with people from out of state because of all the graffiti. It certainly did not speak well for this, for the county of Los Angeles. Looked like we didn't care. And I think on that, on the 110, wherever else we can continue to do the beautification, makes our county look like a more pleasant place to be, and I think that's important. So I thank you very much for your determination, and I know it's tough because they go right back out there and do it again, but keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Just wanted to note that Doug and Ian succeeded in getting Caltrans to accept the idea of bougainvillea. They were not happy about that, and so we have a very bad situation where we can't keep the graffiti off, but we're hesitant to do that, which may minimize the graffiti. And frankly, MTA has been fairly uncompromised in this regard. We need to find a longer-term solution because we can't go out there every single night and clean every freeway abutment. I've been speaking to business people in the area, and when you come into downtown L.A., and it looks like the Bronx. Mm-hmm. That's just not a good business plan for the place. So I appreciate what you guys did. So now we got next year's budget. We need to plant more bougainvillea all over the county.
Yes, sir.
Or other
That's
things.
The plan.
Other things that have spikes. Is that what you're saying?
One board member suggested poison ivy, right. But alas, the effect takes too long. We may do poison ivy with bougainvillea. Now that.
But thank you very much, and no objections. We'll receive and file. All right, let's do item number 17.
Hello.
Hello. Actually, get a chance to not race through it this time.
Yes, huh? How about that?
About that, huh? So now it will take 45 minutes. Just kidding. Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer of Regional Rail.
It just seems like 45 minutes.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's Regional Rail update for March. We continue to work closely with High Speed Rail on a number of issues, specifically the Memorandum of Understanding, which I'll get into in a moment. But one of the big items that we're working on with High Speed Rail is actually closing the gap between Bakersfield and Palmdale and figuring out a way to stage that construction sooner than what they're planning on doing and coming up with ideas on incremental improvements to get that done. Associated with that is enhancing the Antelope Valley line to get additional train service up into Palmdale when they meet Palmdale so that we can actually have a connection with High Speed Rail sooner than 2033. So we've been working real closely with their board and board members and their staff on additions to this business plan and some of these other items as it relates to that. The advance investment MOU went up in front of the High Speed Rail board at the beginning of March. They actually voted in support of the development of the MOU. They approved the MOU as we have approved it in concept. They have a couple of things they want to send back and want us to look at, which are not issues for us. And we'll return that to the board, to their board, for approval on that. Dan Richard, the board chair, was very specific that he wanted any edits extremely minimized. So that's a good sign. So they are on board with us and working with us as full partners on this. As not to belabor it, but this is a brief map of some of the candidate projects that we've actually put into that MOU, and we're moving forward with it. The Low Sand Corridor spot legislation was actually introduced by the February deadline, and that is moving forward. We have developed some authors on that. CEOs are still meeting regularly to develop the overall governance structure. They did present the business plan to the board in March, which was positive for local governance of the Low Sand Corridor. And as you know, several of our representatives on the Low Sand Board will be taking a tour of the Capitol Corridor to see the mechanics of how that works. Rail to Rail, there is a, as you know, Rail to Rail is a monthly pass, actually provides additional transportation opportunities for MetroLink pass holders. There's a proposed agreement that reallocates some train spots as revenue neutral. The problem is they haven't, in our mind, developed the business case for making this move at all, so we're still struggling with that. MetroLink has established a financial task force to deal with the upcoming budget issues. They have developed the fiscal year budget, the draft budget. It was actually presented to the board last week, and it is a substantial increase to us as Metro. There's higher operating costs involved with this. There's also an aggressive rehab schedule that goes along with this. There's a fleet management plan and a rehab plan that extends out 5 years. We'll be coming back to the board in April with a more detailed report on what that actually means for us. The Hollywood Way station is moving forward. I'm not including the AVL study as this because that's a separate presentation. And in conclusion, we're continuing to interface closely with MetroLink and Metro. I'm having regular meetings with MetroLink to work together as partners with them as we move forward with some of the issues that we have mutual issues that we have. We are coordinating with the other partner agencies throughout the county. We have an agreement with San Bernardino to do a joint study on the San Gabriel sub, the San Bernardino line, as we start moving forward with strategic studies. So that works well. And we're continuing to work with all the other projects and capital projects in L.A. With that, if there's any questions.
Any questions?
Just noticed, wearing my other hat for a couple of minutes, the Metrolink hat, is that we appreciate the working with MTA on a lot of those issues. They, you know, Metrolink has the same issues we have. They just have fewer resources and options to deal with them. They have no independent funding source, and, you know, when costs go up, it comes back to member agencies, fare increase, you know, cutting down the budget, which last year Fenton brought the budget in 10% under projected. Told him we expected that again, and he sort of laughed. But it's a hard year all the way around. So appreciate working with you on it, Don.
The Metrolink has been a pleasure to work with, Mr. Katz.
I had an opportunity the last few days to meet with Dan Richards and talk about the blended plan that he is thinking of for the high-speed rail, and was very encouraged by that. So that's a good thing. So any other questions or comments? Seeing none, no objections, we'll receive and file. And we're going to go back to 15, which somehow didn't make it to my list earlier.
Good afternoon, board members. I'm Renee Berlin in the Planning Department. I have with me Randy Lamb, our project manager. Back in December, the board directed us as part of the approving Westchester as a bid option to the Crenshaw LAX project that we report back on potential options for providing transit service to Westchester other than Crenshaw LAX. And this report provides those options to the board. In addition to our existing transit service provided by us and some of the municipal operators and local transit systems such as Beach City Transit, there are three current planning efforts underway in the area. Two of them are ours, which is the Green Line LAX project, and then we're also doing an internal planning study, systems planning study on the Sepulveda Pass project. And the City of LA is doing a West Side Mobility project. The Green Line LAX, which is in our long-range plan with the revenue operation date of 2028 and America Fast Forward date of 2018, will be coming to the board next month with the results of our alternatives analysis study. We're looking at, in addition to bus rapid transit, light rail transit, and APM, we're also looking at different alignments to connect the Crenshaw LAX line with LAX. We're also, as I said, undertaking a systems planning study of the Sepulveda Pass corridor. This was the last project in the Measure R expenditure plan with a 2039 long-range plan date and a 2020 America Fast Forward date. What we're doing with this study is trying to define potential alternatives that could move forward, and because of the magnitude and financial impacts of this project, it could potentially be a private partnership project. So we'll be coming back to the board this summer with the alternatives that could potentially move forward on that. In addition, the City of LA is doing the West Side Mobility and Rail Connectivity Study that is looking at both the Sepulveda and Lincoln Boulevard corridors for potential rail connections as well as bus, and they are in the very early preliminary stages of their alternatives analysis and will be going back to their board or council later this year. This project is not in our long-range plan. It is in our strategic plan. But we anticipate that depending on the options and modes that it could potentially be eligible for our potential funding sources. So those are the efforts that are currently underway in addition to our existing transit services.
Thank you. Questions or comments? No objections. We'll receive and file. Item number 18.
Yes, Madam Chair, Directors. Item 18 is an oral report on highway projects, budget, and schedule status. A report very similar to this is given at every construction committee about the transit projects under construction. So we wanted you to be aware of what's happening on the highway projects as well. With me is Mr. Brian Boudreau, who heads up our project controls unit. And I'll give the report. We passed out hard copies of this a few times now in the past. No, not that one.
You go up there. Yeah.
There you go. There we go. That one. All right, let's go to the next slide. And this first one is just to let you know we are beginning to see on the highway program a number of Project Measure R funded signs going up around the county. So here's a good example of one that's been up, and as more projects work their way through the design phases, we're going to see more and more of these throughout the county. So next slide. Similar to the transit projects, we keep track by phase of what's happening within our highway projects. You can see at the very top of this, we have I-5 North capacity enhancements. The next one I think is important to several members of the board is the I-5 South, the widening from I-605 to Orange County line. Those projects are going through the process very well. In fact, as I was in Sacramento yesterday meeting with some of the top Caltrans FHWA officials, great progress by Caltrans on moving that forward. We have a groundbreaking Monday on segment one. Segments 2 and 3 are anticipated to be in front of the CTC for allocation in April, and segments 5 and 2 will be moving forward after that. So we anticipate having all that under construction within the next year to a little over a year. All those segments should be under construction. Next slide, please. And again, here's a series of what's happening with the rest of the projects. What we're showing here, so that you track on it, the green segments are the bars where we're in the environmental document phase for projects. The kind of goldish color is the design and engineering, and then blue is in construction. In the highway program, not all of our projects are fully funded, so we show a hatch where we have things not fully funded. But if they're partially funded, like under the countywide Soundwall program, you'll see a mixture of those, too, as we work our way through the process. Let's go on to the next couple of slides. And this is information that's provided to you as well in the hard copies. This is how we're tracking the projects on the highway program side. We track risk based on both budget and schedule. We're keeping track of that. We then list the risks below that, and then we talk a little bit about what we're doing to manage the risks on each of these projects as we go through the program. So rather than going through each slide individually, right now the program's working quite well. Most of the risk we see associated in the projects are areas where we don't have full funding on the projects yet. The other pieces of it, the technical pieces, are coming together quite well, and staff's out there being reminded they're paid to be innovative and figure out how to close the gaps on those risks and move them forward. So that's what we're doing. We'll take any questions.
Any questions? No questions or comments. We'll receive and file. And let me thank you and all of you who have presented. I've been lax. Thank you so much for the time that you put in to give the information to us. It really is very important and very much appreciated.
So if I could.
Yeah.
Doug, on the can you go back to the last slide?
Sure. Was the risk slide, and it was about three or four in, so let's keep going. Go another. I think was it this one, High Desert Corridor? Was that the one, Richard, you were looking at?
I saw BNSF on one.
Oh, that would have been one of the I-5 projects.
There we go.
BNSF grade separations. Under the highway program in Measure R, we had a certain amount of money that was identified for grade separations along the BNSF line. There's two of them identified here. The primary funding source we're tracking is obviously the Measure R funds.
Right.
But
we seriously want to do this in the Gateway Cities area? I mean, aren't there more deserving or needy areas than Gateway Cities?
BNSF lines.
No.
No. Oh, chair, just clarify that for me. The answer is no. I buy that. Okay. No,
you caught the chair's attention immediately.
I know. That's, All right. And these are funded by Measure R or funded by BNSF?
BNSF is required under state law to have a 10% match into the projects up to a certain amount for each specific project. Okay. The primary source of fundings for these things always turn out to be other state and or local funds. The one source that we have identified that's sitting there right now fully is the Measure R funds. The rest of this is why you see a possible problem on the budget pieces. There's a lot of money we haven't found yet to make all these work.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
In favor of these in the Gateway Cities area.
Thank you so much. I know that.
But you already knew that, right?
I knew you would be. Next item on the agenda, number 19, bicycle model development status.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. I'm Brad McAllister, Executive Officer of Long Range Planning.
And in January, the board directed us to start work on a bicycle model. And we're real excited to have the opportunity to do this because this is kind of cutting-edge work around the country. So we'll be kind of leading the effort of doing this. And it started out of our congestion mitigation fee work, but actually it can be used for our long-range plan, short-range plan, or other efforts. And Robert Kalix is going to give you a quick presentation on the status of our work in this area.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity of providing the status report today. It's actually a very exciting time to be working on this initiative here at MTA because there's this trend to model bicycle investment because of a national and local groundswell of effort that is being done here and as well as other areas across the country. You know, programs such as commuter bike lanes, programs such as bike sharing programs, bicycle lockers, and other bicycle-related projects. You directed us to develop this modeling capability as a result of the work that we have been doing in the congestion mitigation fee program and working with jurisdictions. And during this study, nearly 30% of the projects have been bicycle-related projects. Therefore, this modeling initiative is very timely. And it turns out that as a result of this, we're actually on the cutting edge of doing this kind of work. While I was at the Transportation Research Board Conference earlier this year, many agencies expressed their interest in learning from our experience because it hasn't been done before. They asked us, when you're doing this, can you share this information with us? And, of course, we'd love to be able to do that. Cities such as New York, they're developing elements of bicycle investment programs, and also Washington, D.C., and other areas around the country. But they haven't developed the capability to model the benefit of a congestion reduction or other types of benefits that result from being able to model the investment. With this modeling initiative that you directed us to do, we will be able to develop this capability and we'll be able to quantify the benefit. Having a model to quantify this benefit will also help us do other initiatives other than the congestion mitigation fee program. It'll help us do the long-range transportation plan, short-range transportation plan, and we'll be able to as well to share this information with them. As a result of that effort, they asked us, can we help you and how can we help you? Good. We asked them, can you be, if we're able to do a peer review panel, they agreed to be part of that effort.
Great.
So, in being able to gain from their input, we'll also be able to share with them what they don't have, which is the modeling capability. So it's a very exciting time in doing this kind of work at this time. So the next steps is to basically finalize the work plan that we're doing right now. We're finalizing our statement of work. We're bringing together the peer review panel that we're going to utilize during this process. We hope to execute this contract in the next coming weeks. And, of course, over the course of time in the next year or so, we'll be able to provide a periodic progress to this board.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I'm delighted to hear that you're moving forward with it. We talk about congestion, but where else is it better to ride a bicycle than in Southern California?
Absolutely.
We certainly have the weather most times of the year more than our counterparts on the East Coast. So it's not just something that helps out with our congestion. It's also something that gives people the opportunity to exercise, which I certainly could use, and to enjoy their surroundings a little more slowly and get them someplace on time. So thank you for what you're doing on it.
Thank you very
much. Questions or comments? Hearing none, no objections, we'll receive and file. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what I said about the others goes for you, too. Just because I said earlier doesn't mean that. We appreciate your hard work. Countrywide, oh, countywide, excuse me, not quite as big a job as I thought it might be. Countywide bus rapid transit study status.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm staying up for this one, too. We're getting countrywide interest in our work in bus rapid transit, so we are getting that. But the board also directed us to do a study to look at where bus rapid transit is feasible. We have been nationwide leaders both with the Orange Line and the Metro Rapid program, so we're taking a countywide look at how we can, whether there are other opportunities. And Martha Butler, who's leading that effort, is going to give you a short presentation.
Good afternoon. Back in August 2011, the board did adopt a motion directing staff to identify and analyze at least five candidate corridors for BRT that include exclusive dedicated bus lines during the peak hours. We returned to the board in October with our strategy for identifying those corridors, including hiring a consultant to come on board to help us with the technical piece of that study. We did begin the procurement process for a consultant, and I believe that we'll have someone on board by the end of April. But at that time, we do anticipate the study to take about 9 months to complete. In terms of the study goals and objectives, again, it's to identify some candidate corridors countywide for peak period bus lanes. We will also be identifying some lower costs, near-term bus speed improvements that we can possibly implement. Some of those things could include, like, signal priority or enhanced signal priority, road surface repair if absolutely necessary, and improve signal synchronization, any other kind of strategies that will help improve the bus speeds. Another major goal of this project is to improve bus passenger travel times and schedule reliability, which is really important to our passengers. This study will also help us to identify some feasible and cost-effective street design improvements, such as improved lighting at the bus stops, street furniture, could be a number of improvements. In terms of the study approach, we do plan on taking, again, a countywide look at identifying these corridors and developing recommendations. We also are planning on building upon some earlier studies that might have been conducted in terms of bus lanes, and also an earlier study that Metro conducted, which was called the Countywide Bus Speed Improvement Study, which did identify a number of corridors in which we could make some lower cost near-term improvements to speed up the buses. The study will also assess the operating capital costs and benefits of implementing bus lanes and bus speed improvements. And in addition to that, we will be conducting this study with LADOT, any affected jurisdiction, and a special study technical advisory committee that will be made up of a number of very key stakeholders. In terms of the schedule, again, we hope to have someone on board by the end of April. The study, again, will take about 9 months. We do anticipate it being completed by the end of December of this year, and we will return to the board in February 2013 with any findings and or recommendations that we may come up with. And with that, we'd like to continue on retaining the technical assistance and begin the study. And again, we will return to the board, you know, once we, when appropriate, with the update or any findings and or recommendations from that study. And with that, that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions.
I believe Director Katz has a comment.
Explain to me why we need to go out for a consultant to do this. I mean, it seems to me we've got bus rapid transit in, you know, a number of areas in Los Angeles. We have, you know, we do a lot of different kinds of service here. Why can't we, you know, why are we going out for one more consultant? Is there somebody left unemployed out there we haven't hired yet? I mean,
no, it's just to help us with some of the very tedious technical analysis and data collection. And.
But I still don't understand why we can't do that in-house other than it's tedious. I'm sorry. That's what people get paid for.
Well, it's just, I know.
It's called a job, not a, you know, not fun. So I still don't understand why we're going. I mean, you know, I'm still not sure why we went out for consultant on 3Ps, because everybody else in the world does them. So, you know, I know there's a tendency here to feel like we do everything uniquely and differently than anyone else in the world, and there's a lot of truth to it. But we also sometimes seem to spend a lot of time going over familiar territory because we go outside rather than just say pick something off the shelf or say this is how it's done. So. You know, it's not just directed at you guys, but it's a question I've asked in a number of cases, but specifically now that this is in front of us, I don't get why we have to go outside.
Well, I think as Martha was saying that the you know, we're doing a countywide look, so we're not just looking at any particular geographic area like the city of Los Angeles, and we are looking for expertise from a consultant to help us both in developing a system. You know, we've already done one Wilshire BRT. It took us about 10 years and a $30 million grant in order to get it going.
Brad, I would have assumed that somewhere during that 10-year, $30 million experience, we would have learned all there was to learn about them and not need a consultant.
Well, we did for Wilshire, but the board directed us in August to look at least five more lines, and we came back with the strategy that the board approved, which included hiring a consultant because we do have a lot of work to do. It actually involves going out and looking line by line at what's feasible, where some of the impediments are, and our experience in the past is that a consultant has really, really been invaluable to us in coming up with kind of a system. I think what we're trying to do that's new, and we've seen this, you know, one study that interested me was in the Chicago area, where they, instead of looking line by line, were actually trying to develop a system, and not only a system, but a hierarchy of system. You know, Wilshire itself is probably one of our biggest candidates. We're hoping to have that done in a couple of years, and we have the orange line today. But what we're trying to do is look at a system of a hierarchy, you know, between things that are like, I don't think there are any more corridors in L.A. that are like the Orange Line, but perhaps other high-volume corridors like Wilshire, and there may be other improvements that are something less than bus rapid transit as well, you know, such as signal priority that makes speed improvements. But all of this is complicated. It takes a lot of work with not only the city of Los Angeles but other cities. And if you want the recommendation that we believe you're looking for, we are in the process of hiring a consultant.
I guess I just assumed that we had the best and the brightest already working here, and we didn't need to go outside to do that.
Well, we do have the best of the brightest working here, but we want to expand
not
and come back with the amount of work that goes into this. We're fairly lean in this area, staff wise. We have the best and the brightest, but we have a very small staff.
Let's talk later. What I'd like to do is to put together informally. I'm not asking for a big study. A list of the skill sets that you're interested in obtaining. Then let's talk about what we would do if we don't hire a consultant. Then we can talk with the director about that.
Okay, sure.
I'm just looking at saving time. You know, I guess it's a 9-month process just getting the consultant on board and having them do a study or, you know.
We are well along in that process. The RFP has been released and we do have bids in, so we're at the point and we do have board approval to. You know, we did come before the board and the board approved the steps we're going through. We'd be happy to, as Art said, list out the skills that we have, and if the board doesn't believe that we need to move forward, we'd be happy to follow your direction. But we believe we were going in the direction the board asked us to go.
Yeah, and I'm sure that this information was on the approval that was given by the board, but a cost of a consultant versus trying to do it in-house might be something that's interesting as well. Any other questions or comments? If not, we'll receive and file, and please, you have Antonovich here. Let's go to number 14, which is a receive and file, but I believe the supervisor had something that he wanted to do with it.
Wait for technology to catch up. Hold on a second here.
Yeah, well, you know how that technology is.
Yes.
Oops. Thank you.
There is a embedded drawing that does that. Good afternoon again. Don Sepulveda, Executive Officer for Regional Rail. We're going to bring to you the results of the Antelope Valley Line Strategic Study. As you know, in April 2011, the board adopted a motion to study the AVL as a strategic study and at the same time put forward the idea to study other lines in Los Angeles County. The goals were to identify infrastructure improvements for flexibility, improve service, reduce the run time to 1 hour between Palmdale and Union Station, identify safety enhancements, build capacity, and evaluate some funding opportunities. Brief description, this is a 75-mile corridor in Los Angeles County. It is the only Metrolink passenger corridor that we have in the Metrolink system that is completely in Los Angeles County. Portion of that is on the Losan corridor, served by Amtrak and Metrolink and others. The average speed between us, between Los Angeles and Palms, is about 40 miles an hour. They, right now, limited stops, train service is an hour and 30 minutes. There's an overview of the line, and I will highlight for your future reference on this the segment between Sylmar and Palmdale is of specific concern for us. That's a very windy, as although you cannot see it there, alignment. This is, there are some physical strains. We have multiple slow-speed curves. We have a lack of sidings, crossovers. We have narrow right-of-way. We have station configuration constraints. Corridor-wide, we have numerous single-track sections, significant signaling constraints, which are affecting operations, and, of course, numerous at-grade crossings, 24 of which are in the San Fernando Valley alone. So some of the studies, we actually did two tiers on this. Tier one is the low-hanging fruit, if you will. Saved about 2.8 minutes in travel time with geometric improvements. Tier 2 saved about 10.8 minutes in travel time. Tier 1 is, as I mentioned, mostly within the right-of-way, minimal right-of-way impacts, minimal environmental impacts. Tier 2 went outside the right-of-way and created some significant impacts. The overall runtime is not able to meet the target one-hour runtime without significant and other environmental impacts. Although it can't, the runtime was reduced through additional capacity improvements that allow additional scheduling options. And for example, I refer to the segment between the Via Princesa station and the Palmdale station, which is an hour and 10 minutes of runtime, and it's all single track. The larger benefit of the infrastructure improvements is actually operational capacity, and the greatest benefit is actually double tracking the segment between Burbank Junction, Sylmar, and Via Princesa and Palmdale. The Lancaster Terminus area and the Palmdale area, they're actually at capacity currently right now. And if we do an increase of service from the a significant increase in service on the Antelope Valley line, we have limited capacity at Union Station. We'll have to start looking at additional options on Union Station to meet that need. Very simply, and if for those of you who have a black and white copy, it's very simple. The higher bar is actually increased capacity. The lower bar is existing capacity. This is what happens to capacity when we start doing some of the recommended infrastructure improvements.
By the way, I should add to that, Don, you know, along that same line, and why this is really timely and important, Metrolink's looking at purchasing Tier 4 locomotives as opposed to rehabbing. One of the advantages to Tier 4 is more, aside from drastically reduced air pollution, but it's also greater horsepower. Greater horsepower means we can add a car on there and pull it, you know, with another 150 passengers without increasing our overhead. But that goes to the capacity issue that you're raising now. So it's a perfect time to be doing what you're talking about.
Yes, sir, and when I get further along in the presentation, it's going to be even more apparent as we move forward. This is a chart that actually shows the travel speeds that this is a modeling output that you gain by doing the infrastructure, straight infrastructure improvements. As you notice, the bar is not really raised too high on this. So this is merely an example. Red is Tier 1, green is Tier 2, blue is the existing. So Tier 1 improvements have a greater sense of limitation by requiring a minimal amount of right-of-way. The estimated costs in today's dollars are about $45 million for track and about $35 for station crossing and additional track improvements. The projects include the track improvements that I've talked about, the Burbank Junction Via Princesa station, the double tracking that I've talked about, increase the overall flexibility and reliability. It reduces the runtime by 2.8 minutes, but on several trains, it actually reduces the runtime by as much as 13 minutes because it eliminates holds. Implementing a grade crossing improvement program is very important in this. The Palmdale Station and Lancaster Station have some track improvement issues that are needed as well that actually have single-track turn constraints that are affecting the overall service. And again, the Sylmar station has a, we're requesting that they're actually noting double tracking. The Sylmar station in particular has a particular amount, longer amount of dwell time due to additional spotting of trains for ADA issues. And so double tracking would actually help us in that. Tier two. These are not constrained within the right-of-way. There are numerous federal environmental and funding constraints there, significant land acquisition. This is actually a very long-term because of the environmental impacts that would happen because of this. And, in fact, we probably have some very significant community issues as we move forward on this. The rec improvements are actually located mostly along the right-of-way between Via Princesa and Lancaster. Most of these improve the operational capacity and flexibility. Unfortunately, it only gains us an additional 10.8, or excuse me, saves us an additional 10.8 minutes of runtime, and will require approximately $242 million to accomplish. So our bang for our buck on Tier 2 is not readily there on infrastructure. The safety enhancements, one of the things that kept popping up is we are, in Los Angeles County does not have a comprehensive grade crossing safety program or prioritization program, and this really popped up and showed up in this. Also, grade separations were an issue as well. So we looked at the safety improvements and just minor treatments, major treatments, and, of course, treatments that would allow higher-speed rail operations. Some of it we categorized between these years, and we came up with some estimated costs about $10 million for the minor, about $33 for major, and about $253 for higher speed. This includes grade separations and significant crossing changes. So the overall funding analysis, and I'm getting to the meat here. We did a funding scenario that comes up with these numbers. Overall, the grand total that you saw there pointed out to about $1 billion. This is where some of the sources of funding would come from. And I had actually thought this was out. So these are some of the breakdowns in the funding. The 67 you see is actually state grants. The 22 is capital. But that's the funding breakdown if we went forward with a plan in a scenario. The conclusions are, by offering frequent limited stop service with interconnectivity, the AVL could see significant growth of about 15% a year with up to 50% over 3 years. The passenger demand modeling needs to help determine the ridership requirement for the next 10 to 20 years. The recommended next steps are complete the analysis of the station at Bob Hope Airport. As you know, that is moving on concurrently with this project, and we expect to come back next month. Advanced segments of the corridor into PE and environmental work. This is a significant issue. Since this study started, and actually within the last couple of months, the High Speed Rail Authority has been working very closely with us and talking about getting additional trains to meet them in Palmdale. And they have actually given us kudos for doing this step, because this step that we have done puts us in advance of other corridors in the state that they're actually going out to the same request for the blended approach. So our study is the foothold for the blended approach. So it appears that we're working through with them to try and get some additional funding for some of this PE environmental work as we start moving forward. We will be performing an additional modeling analysis of tilt train technology. Tilt trains are trains like in the Northeast Corridor that actually tilt the body of the car to compensate for geometry deficiencies. It is a different business model for Metrolink, and it requires a whole different business plan. We're going to look at the modeling and see what that does to this corridor as far as travel times go. This may be closely linked into the high-speed rail blended approach as we move forward to meeting them with the trains that they need. The other issue is develop and implement a comprehensive grade crossing program. We are finding throughout our system that we do not have a grade crossing and grade separation program, and that's hampered our readiness to apply for grants. So we need to move forward with something on that. We need to identify some project-ready improvements for funding. We do need to implement a funding plan, start dedicating some resources, and start moving forward with this prioritization. And with that, I will open up for any questions.
Gentlemen?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, yes, let me have an amendment to this, and thank you for the good work you've done on this project. People in those valleys do appreciate that. Antelope Valley Line Infrastructure Improvement Strategic Plan provides the first step toward improving travel safety and speeds between the Antelope, Santa Cruz, and San Fernando Valleys and downtown Los Angeles. with California High Speed Rail Authority committing to $1 billion in Metrolink Amtrak improvements by 2020, and a station in Palmdale with the potential for Desert Express, which is connecting Las Vegas to Victorville, and construction begins this year. We are looking for a feeder line connecting Victorville to Palmdale. So the timing is very good for MTA to begin assessing the infrastructure improvement necessary. This plan makes four key findings that ought to be implemented by the MTA to continue working on these upgrades with the Metrolink Antelope line while also paving the way for improvements on the other Metrolink lines within the county of Los Angeles. In addition, the MTA board ought to support the placement of a Metrolink station on the Antelope Valley line at Bob Hope Airport, which would allow for residents of the Antelope and Santa Cruz Valleys to access directly this vital airport. Furthermore, MTA ought to explore how to provide seamless rail service between the Antelope Valley and Bakersfield, between Antelope Valley and San Diego, and between Ventura and Indio to overcome the current political and infrastructure barriers that don't allow for this type of service without restricted speed schedules or transfers. So I'd move that the MTA CEO direct staff to present to the board within 30 days the following: the assessment on how to implement a Metrolink station on the Antelope Valley line at the Bob Hope Airport, with recommendations to accomplish this connection, a plan to advance segments of the Antelope Valley line corridor to preliminary engineering and environmental work, a proposal to develop a comprehensive grade crossing, grade separation safety program for Metrolink operated lines in the county, a proposal to increase the staffing levels of the regional rail group to manage regional rail capital improvement programs, the next step in establishing a regional rail bench of engineering consultants qualified in the engineering of commuter rail facilities, an assessment of the potential for tilt train, a technology that permits Metrolink to operate at faster speeds within the constrained Antelope Valley Line corridor, a legislative action plan acquiring the intercity rail, which is a designation for the Antelope Valley Line north of the downtown Burbank Station to Lancaster, an assessment of what is necessary to provide rail service between the Antelope Valley and Bakersfield along current railroad right-of-way, whether it be Metrolink or Amtrak service, an assessment of what would be necessary to provide seamless rail service between the Antelope Valley and San Diego County, an assessment of what would be necessary to provide seamless rail service between Ventura County and Indio.
Mr. Comments? Second?
I'll second.
Any further comments? Any objections?
Just a comment. Okay. We'll come back at the next board meeting with what we can get done. This is a pretty extensive list, and so a number of very good ideas here. We'll come back with what we can next month, and then we'll follow up the following month as we proceed with the work.
Yes? Somebody's? Okay, no objections, so ordered.
I'm sorry? I said you've been at the...
Let's go to item 11. Thank you, Don. I'm sorry. Good job.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item number 11 is to authorize the CEO to amend an existing MOU with the I-5 Joint Powers Authority. As you may remember, we had authorized them to pursue a series of projects in advance of the construction of the I-5 project to provide mitigation for what's going to happen as we deter traffic through there. They have done a very good job of administering those projects. There's actually a little bit of funding left over within that. They've asked within that the same original funding amount to add one additional project. We took a good hard look at it. I was a little skeptical at first whether this project would really help mitigate traffic in that corridor, but I went out, I drove the line myself. This will be beneficial to the detour of traffic in the I-5 corridor, and staff recommends the item.
And it will fall within the original allocation
dollars.
And
it falls within that original allocation, no additional funds requested.
Okay. Any questions or comments? There are no objections?
I'll move it.
Well, sure, let's do a motion.
I'll
second. We got a second?
Yeah.
Any objections? Okay. Item 11 passes. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your work. Now let's go to item number 5,
San Fernando Valley COG member and alternate.
Good afternoon. Today we're asking you to add the San Fernando Valley COG to our legislatively mandated TAC.
Second? So ordered. Thank you. Next item, number six, refer to recertify measure R, highway operational for projects for the highway operational. There.
You say. Yes, Madam Chair. Item Measure R Highway Program provides funding to three subregions. I have with me, by the way, Lon Najati, who's my manager for much of these items. It's Arroyo Verdugo, Las Virgenes, Malibu, and South Bay cities to improve highway operations. Last year, the board approved a recommended list of projects for programming for each subregion. This is a recertification of the approved project list. It reflects any proposed updates from each subregion. The changes do not have any adverse impact to the funding allocation forecast to be available for each individual subregion, and staff recommends approval of the updated list.
Questions? Any objections? If not, the item passes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next one, yes. Number seven.
Item seven is a cooperative agreement for administration of the routes within the South Bay area, and it's again related to the previous item. We've worked hard with South Bay. There's a lot more moving parts. It's a lot bigger piece of money. There's a lot more communities involved, and the South Bay Council of Governments has stepped up to the plate, worked with us very well in order to help manage that program, reduces our need for staff input, and has helped achieve and maintain consensus within the subregion on how these projects will go forward. So we're recommending a cooperative agreement which codifies the roles and responsibilities Metro and SBCOG will play in managing the updated project lists and moving forward with these very important projects.
Any questions? No objections. That'll be the order. Next item?
Yes, ma'am. Next item is item number eight. It's a project study report on the Highway 101 auxiliary lanes from basically Route 110 to Glendale Boulevard. We all know how badly traffic backs up in the northbound direction through the downtown slot. This is a project that actually the private side has stepped up. Carol Schatz had found a pot of money through private donations. Caltrans had stepped up to the plate and put some of their resources, their planning resources, on it. The work is close to being done, and they've run out of cash. This is a little bit of funds in order to final that report and get it ready for funding. Should have a great impact on improving downtown traffic in the downtown Los Angeles area if we can move it forward.
Thank you. Item, I'm sorry, questions or comments? No objections? Then that'll be the order. Let's go to the CEO's report. We're hoping that Supervisor Yaroslavsky will make his way here shortly.
Good. Okay. Yes, Madam Chair, as you, of course, know, in the last week, Directors Du Bois and O'Connor, the L.A. Chamber, L.A. Business Council, APTA, myself, were back in Washington. I think it's fair to say that there's a great deal of confusion regarding what's going to happen in terms of a reauthorization of the transportation bill, so-called highway bill. We're just looking at the headlines. The Senate has passed a bill that I believe has some good news for Los Angeles, probably the subway funding, subway and connector. Yeah, AFF is in the title, America Fast Forward. So that's good. The open question remains as to whether or not the House will approve that bill or whether they will offer another one on their own. Yesterday we were hearing that that the House may come back, in fact, again with another bill, a five-year bill. So we'll see what happens. The current act expires at the end of this month. At that time, a gasoline tax would be suspended, and there would be no authority for it unless there's an extension. And that would raise significant issues about our federally funded projects. So we will be monitoring this very carefully. We met with Secretary LaHood, who was quite emphatic about the need to proceed with high-speed rail. He was very, very strong that he wants the counties to work with the Federal Railroad Administration to get this accomplished. We had good meetings with the L.A. delegation, met with a few people from outside the L.A. delegation, such as Earl Blumenauer, who's coming to Los Angeles shortly, and also Senator Merkley from Oregon, as well as others. So with that, Madam Chair, I will conclude my report.
Thank you very much. And let me, yes.
The high-speed, or not the high-speed rail, but the inner city connector line, mm-hmm. was supposed to be on the agenda, and it was taken off. We should have left it on for an update without action, but so we could be briefed as to, you know, what is going on.
The connector, okay.
So when some of these items are taken off, when they're scheduled to be on, I would leave them on, and you could put for no action, but for informational purposes.
Okay, we can give a brief update as to the discussions right now. If you'd like.
I'll be happy to give an update. There have been several meetings with the stakeholders over the last 3 weeks. We are making significant substantive progress, and we'll be back to the board next week with a report on that progress and an assessment of recommendation for what the board should do.
Thank you.
Let me say this is the first time I've gone back for an after meeting, and although I was taken back kicking and screaming, it was well worth the time, and it was really very educational for me to see the number of folks that are working so hard on transportation, transit, and to be a part of the bigger picture, so to speak. So, Art, I thank you for insisting that I should go, because you were right. And look forward to more such trips in the future.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, item number 10, Mr. Yale.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board, and good afternoon. If I may put the slide up, this is the only new thing that has occurred since we met last month and ran through this board report. The Technical Advisory Committee met on March 7th and approved the staff recommendation with the condition that it does not adversely affect the call for projects and that the call for projects be kept on the table for any additional funding we might be able to get for the call. We are comfortable with this condition because the report actually includes the call for projects in it. And, of course, the board has already established priorities for what would happen if we got additional funding, and those priorities include additional money for the call at a certain point on the list. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the report.
Let me answer a question that isn't necessarily about the report, but it is about the report. We talk about call for projects. There are many entities out there that we're anticipating matching funds from their redevelopment agency. Those funds have gone away. So is it likely that we will see some of the call for projects that were awarded, if you will, where the money comes back to us because they can't meet those requirements?
That's a possibility. We're working with the agencies to give them additional time to work through the process set forth by the governor to work out the cancellation of the CRAs. So the first thing you'll see is a bunch of extensions while cities look to backfill the CRA funding. And then if they can't ultimately do that, you would see the obligations and so forth being brought to you for your disposition.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments on this item?
Is it the obligations?
Mm-hmm.
The obligations of what?
Call for projects grants that had CRA match are now at risk.
Questions? Comments? Can I have a motion?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any objections? So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're done. I want to thank the staff again for great reports today. Really appreciate all the time and effort you put into it. And, gentlemen, thank you. We're done.
Thank you.